Okay,
so now we're recording, I hope.
So last time we talked about chapter 6, I think it was, in the sealed book. And, you know, that section in there, I read it and I read it again and I start peeling layers back. And then in 7 and 8, it's talking about the Zion, building Zion, and law of consecration in 8. And how they accomplished that and setting it for a model or an example for latter day. John, on the bottom of page 154.
The pages are different, so.
Okay, it's in chapter 7, number 4.
That's
here.
Yes, I've got it. Yes, go ahead.
They're talking about Moses there, right?
Oh, wait a minute. I am in the wrong.
Acts of the Three Nephites.
I'm in the wrong book, so
we're in Acts of Nephi.
Yes, of course.
There we go.
Okay. That's the very verse that I've prepared to talk about today and others. It's amazing. Everything I prepared is in chapter 7. Go ahead. Read what you're looking at.
It says, and it has been talking about building Zion, the foundation that preceded heaven and expected by the prophets. And then you go down at 4 there. Therefore, it must be fulfilled in this, that Isaiah's words concerning him who, with stuttering lips and by another tongue, will speak to his people. Now, I assume that was Moses and Aaron. Just as it was prophesied by Joseph in Egypt concerning him whom the Lord would call to write these words, but that he will not be able to speak to those people because of his dialect, but that the Lord would summon a minister with him, a spokesman from the loins of Joseph, according to the promises made to our ancestors in relation to the chosen seed in the last days. Now, that kind of puts me in a different time setting. This was all prior to that, I guess, right?
Can I just comment on this?
More than
this was the talk I prepared.
Oh, really?
the talk was on chapter 7 after everybody else had done it. It's verse 4. So let me start by, we're going to quote the Isaiah. It says at the end of the verse, Isaiah 28, verse 11. So let me read, and you can get yours out if you've got it. Isaiah 28 and 11. Now, this is right in the area where he's talking about Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. The famous one is the one that is quoted so much in the LDS Church, is Isaiah 29, and that's where it says that the there'll be a sealed book, and it'll be given to the man, and the one can't read it, and the other can read it, and that famous one. This is the chapter before that. And so I'm going to read to you Isaiah. This is amazing, though, that your question is on.
I've been chewing on this for a week.
You know, this is, I mean, I prayed that I should do. We're supposed to have meetings led by the Spirit, and this is amazing because I was just led to that, and I thought I have to read that verse again. So Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. Let me read the verse before that too. He's talking about the last days and how understanding the doctrine. Verse 10 says, precept must be upon precept. And then they say it again, precept on precept. That's probably a translation thing. And line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now that's something we've heard quoted a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
But the next verse I have never heard quoted in church in my life. I have read it and just skipped over it because it didn't make any sense. The next verse, Isaiah 28 and 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, that does not sound like Joseph Smith.
Nope.
Joseph Smith did not have stammering lips. He didn't stutter. He didn't speak in another tongue. Have you ever heard a talk on this verse in your life?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But Moses had...
Wait.
Okay.
Don't. There's no Moses here.
Okay.
You're not. We'll read this and you'll see that it's not talking about Moses.
I didn't think so either. It was confusing me.
Okay. Verse 4. Therefore, it must be fulfilled in this. And he's talking about this book in our hands coming forth.
Yep.
That Isaiah's words concerning him who, with stuttering lips, now see, that's like stammering. See, Mauricio didn't copy this. He chose a similar word. Whereas in the Joseph Smith one, they're exact, when he quotes Isaiah, in the Book of Mormon, when he quotes Isaiah, it's exactly King James. Anyway, Isaiah's words concerning him who, with stuttering lips and by another tongue, will speak to this people. Now he's been talking about, up in verse 2, he's talking about the Latter-day Saints, because it says, talking about children that are called by name together, Zion, I will bring this forth from them, a people who are blind though they have eyes, and are deaf though they have ears. So he's talking about getting the message out to sort of deaf and dumb people, which to me really fits LDS Gentiles. So he's talking about this book coming forth. So he said, it must be fulfilled that Isaiah's words concerning him who with stuttering lips and by another tongue will speak to this people, just as if, now listen to this, see how he ties Isaiah to Joseph. Just as it was prophesied by Joseph in Egypt concerning him who the Lord would call to write these words. Now that's huge. He's quoting the Book of Mormon. And it's got that quote up here at the end of the verse, LDS, 2 Nephi 3, 17 to 18. We don't have to read that because I think we know it well enough. Well, I'm just going to quote it, and if you want, we can get it out and read it. But he's quoting the Book of Mormon, which is quoting Joseph of Egypt, and the prophecy of, you know what, let's read it. Let's turn to that. Because he's tying Isaiah together with this. So we're going to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 3 and verse. I just think this is amazing. This is a question you've had for a week. And last night I was told to have this for my verse that I liked. That's amazing. Second Nephi chapter 3 verse 17. Now this is where Lehi is talking to his son named Joseph, and he's saying that his son Joseph is named after Joseph of Egypt, and he is now quoting a prophecy from Joseph of Egypt that has been lost otherwise, so it's only in the Book of Mormon. And here's what Joseph of Egypt was told. Now Joseph is way before Moses. Moses is he's 500 years.
Right.
He's 1800 BC, and Moses is 1400 BC. He's 400 years before Moses. The Lord said to Joseph of Egypt, I will raise up a Moses, and I will give him power in unto him in a rod, and I will give him judgment unto him in writing. Yet I will not loose his tongue, that he may speak much. Now, it doesn't say he stammers. It just says, I'm not going to loose his tongue, that he shall speak much. For I will not make him mighty in speaking, but I will write unto him my law by the finger of mine own hand, and I will make a spokesman for him. And now, see, you remember that story when the Lord called Moses,
right,
and told him. Moses did say something like, I'm not good at speaking. And remember, what I like is the Lord didn't say, oh, sure you are. He said, oh, yeah, you're right. You're lousy at speaking. We're going to have your brother speak for you.
Aaron,
exactly. Aaron will be the spokesman. So it doesn't say Aaron's name here, but that's in the book of, in the Bible. So he says, I will make a spokesman for him. And the Lord said unto me also, I will raise up unto the fruit of thy loins, and I will make for him a spokesman. Okay, this is talking about, for sure, Joseph Smith. And behold, I will give unto him that he shall write the writings of the fruit of thy loin, and unto the fruit of thy loins, and the spokesman of thy loins shall dictate it.
Declare it.
Thank you. Now, in the Doctrine and Covenants, I'm just going to quote this. We can't look up all of these.
Okay.
In Doctrine and Covenants, section 100, it says that that Sidney Rigdon was the spokesman for Joseph Smith. He was called and ordained to be the spokesman. And I've read accounts of people who have heard the two talk together, and they said it was absolutely amazing. Joseph Smith is the young, uneducated prophet, and right, he would get up, and the word would come to him, and he'd give this amazing talk, but a lot of it was new, and he's talking to all Bible believers, you know, that's where they came from.
Right.
And it sounded like, you know, new things. I mean, he's a prophet. Then Sidney Rigdon would get up, and he would say, and Sidney Rigdon had the Bible almost memorized. He had been a Campbellite preacher. He'd been a preacher for many years. And if he, his whole flock was, that's where the whole Kirtland, Ohio place came from. His whole flock was baptized, and there were more converts in Kirtland than there were in New York, and they all moved to Kirtland. Anyway, they said he would get up and he would testify, and he'd say, actually, all of that that sounds new is actually in the Bible, and he would declare it and prove it as a second witness. And they said the spirit was just overwhelming to hear the two talk together. Okay. All right. All of that is in the Book of Mormon. And what it says is that the Lord, out of the seed of Joseph, will raise up both a seer, who's going to be the one to translate the Book of Mormon, and will raise up a spokesman. Okay? All right, now back to this one. This verse that we're reading is not about the Book of Mormon. It's no. about the sealed book.
That was my first impression.
It's about this book. So I'm going to go back and start the verse again on verse 4.
Let me ask you something. Just sure. Having been down there and met him, and I don't know that you speak Portuguese, does he stammer?
He does not stammer. He speaks amazingly.
Yeah.
I was in awe when I heard him speak. When I was with him eating dinner, I stayed at his home for 6 days. And he was a really nice guy and a regular, you know, person. When he stood up in conference and spoke, his face shone. He didn't have a note. He spoke by the Spirit. And the words came, the Spirit testified. He was marvelous.
I wish you could.
No stammering. Okay, so let's go back. I read verse 4 again. See, verse 4, you can take half an hour on this, but you said you spent a week on it. I'm so glad I was inspired. I mean, we're being led by the Spirit, my friend.
Yes, we are.
Someone has to ask the questions. All right. Therefore, it must be fulfilled. I'm back on four. It must be fulfilled in this, that Isaiah's words concerning him who, with stuttering lips and by another tongue, will speak to this people. Just now, so that's the prophecy, and we're not sure who that's talking about yet. It's talking about somebody who's stammering with their lips and speaking a different tongue. And now it's going to connect Isaiah to what we just read in the Book of Mormon, just as it was prophesied by Joseph in Egypt concerning, now, concerning whom? We think we know, we read the Book of Mormon, we think, well, yeah, we know who that's about. That's about Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon. Look what he says. Concerning him whom the Lord would call to write these words in this book. That right there is talking about multiple mortalities in the sealed book right in front of us. It is saying, we already know it's Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon because it fits. But now he says that's also talking about he who would be called to write these words. That is Mauricio. And look how he describes Mauricio. But he will not be able to speak to these people. What people? The blind, deaf Mormons in Utah. Right?
We've already proven that out. We try to talk to them and they run away.
We read that up here. They are blind. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They're blind. They have ears and cannot hear. Hold it. Yeah, question.
How many have we tried to talk to and they don't want to hear it? They just
exactly.
Blind. Yeah,
like for the monkeys, three monkeys.
The monkeys.
Yeah, the three
and
monkeys.
Said, read that again the way you said it. Blind, deaf.
Blind, deaf.
Well,
we
didn't do the dumb part. It doesn't say that. But yeah, blind. It says they have eyes. I'll read it exactly. I'm up in verse 2. It says, behold, I will bring forth from them a people, the people who are blind though they have eyes, and they are deaf though they have ears. But they refuse to see the salvation from me. That's
the people.
That's
here.
The people. And yeah. Now down here it's saying that this prophecy of Joseph of Egypt, look how much we're getting out of one verse. The prophecy concerning him whom the Lord would call to write these words. But he will not be able to speak to these people, the Mormons in Utah, or in general, the English-speaking Mormons, because of his dialect. In other words, he speaks Portuguese.
Right.
He doesn't speak English.
Right. Exactly.
The stammering is, if he tries to speak English, yeah, he stammers. It's goody nighty. You know, he doesn't speak the language. But now this is a little part coming. It's a little scary, but it says, so he cannot speak to these people because of his dialect, but that the Lord would summon to minister with him. Now this him is Mauricio. The Lord would summon to minister with him a spokesman from the loins of Joseph, according to the promises made to our ancestors in relation to the chosen seed in the last days. So what I'm reading here is that Mauricio doesn't speak English. He's got to get a message out to a bunch of Mormons. So he's going to call a spokesman who does speak English. And I'm wondering if that might be me.
Yeah, I wondered that too. That was part of the reason I was wanting to talk about this.
Yeah, I had never found that verse till yesterday. No, he's pointing at me. She said yes. Because this verse might be talking about me. It says that Mauricio is going to have somebody that speaks English called to preach to the Mormons who are blind and deaf. And I don't know anybody else. The only other person is Bob Kapler, but I've written all these papers. I guess I've written 10 papers now,
right,
talking about Mauricio. And right now we can't preach publicly too much because of all of the COVID and quarantine. But so there's three people that have been prophesied. One is there's going to be someone called David the Servant. And,
right. And that, now that may match, because he's talking about according to the promises made to our ancestors in relation to the chosen seed in the last days.
Yeah, see, it's in the last days. And he says earlier, he's talking about the end of the last days when this book comes forth. There's at least, there's two people I've known about that are prophesied besides Mauricio. One is somebody called David the Servant. And both Mauricio and I think we know who that is, which is Denver Snuffer. There's also someone who is called the one who is mighty and strong. And that person is described in the revelation given last March. And it's not me, for sure, I believe. Because it's somebody that's very wealthy with ivory bed. And so I didn't think I was anywhere in this. But this is a different person. There's a spokesman. And see, the reason it might be me, and I wasn't going to emphasize this part, but see, you've been thinking it and wondering, and you were asking.
Yep.
But when I was down there, and I asked why I was going to be a witness, Mauricio said that Moroni told him that I had been prepared for this all of my life.
Right.
Now, you don't have to be prepared all your life to come in and see the plates.
Be a witness, yeah.
You can be prepared for your whole life to do it.
Yeah, Ed, I'm going to say it, repeat it, because it's hard to hear you. Ed just said, but you can be prepared for your whole life for
specific things.
For specific things. I was called on a mission to Brazil. I worked in the city. I've been to the university where he had the vision from Raphael. I speak the language. I can speak Portuguese, and it has come back to me. Of course, I watch Portuguese movies on YouTube and stuff, you know, with the...
Helps.
Helps. Yep. But I was able to communicate just fine down there. I've been prepared all my life For whatever work I'm doing, I have been prepared all my life.
Yeah, so you are a voice.
A voice, yeah.
I'm a voice, and I speak English, and I speak Portuguese, and I can represent Mauricio. Anyway, I'm not saying I'm this person, but I don't even know another candidate right now.
Right.
What
right.
I'm really saying. But now I finished talking about the verse, and that's, I wasn't going to say the part about me, but you'd already thought of it. So this is, he's talking about both Joseph Smith
right.
and Mauricio as the same person. He just says it's the same. In other words.
That's the part that got me on that, because I couldn't get past how the two. I mean, how can you be jumping from this?
It's the same, because in the Book of Mormon one is talking about Joseph Smith bringing forth the Book of Mormon. And this one's talking about Mauricio bringing forth the sealed book. And it's the same person. In his mind, it's the man who's going to bring this forth.
So the one that still has the keys. Right. Is the one who's going to be bringing
forth. They're the same. And I believe what I'm saying is in Nephite's mind, in Jonah's mind who wrote this, it's like, yeah, it's the same person.
Yeah, because in a spiritual vision. Yeah,
that was my commentary.
Yeah, no, that's good. That helps me understand that because I couldn't connect that.
And none of this is about Moses or Aaron. Moses also happened.
I was trying to throw that out.
Yeah, because see, we read in the book of Mormon, it talks about it similar. It's saying, even as Moses had a spokesman Aaron, so also will this descendant of Joseph have a spokesman. And so the question arises, if I was Sidney Rigdon before, and I've never had that thought, and I still don't have that thought. If I had to guess who I was before, all my life I've identified with Orson Pratt. And I've just felt like Orson Pratt. And so I don't know. I do not know who I was before in the time of Joseph Smith.
Now, Orson was also a literary man, was he not?
He's a literary man. He was an astronomer. He teaches astronomy at the University of Deseret. Yeah. I've identified him all my life. It doesn't matter what I've done. I'm just saying I've never felt any kinship with Sidney Rigdon.
Yeah.
Even though Mauricio is Joseph Smith and they're the same, I'm not believing that it has to be that the spokesman has to be the same person too.
And if you think back about this and we take the bigger context of God sending messengers for great deeds, you take Moses and he's got a speaker. Take Joseph and he's got somebody who's going to declare. And you get Mauricio, the same thing would happen. It's a type and a shadow, isn't it? Isn't that what you would call that? A type of what he's done? He's always had, for some of these great things, he's had this.
Yeah, there's a second witness, there's a helper. Yeah, it's a pattern.
that's how
it works. It doesn't say he always does it, but he explicitly says in this case, he does.
Yeah, because just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not going on.
Right. See, we never thought of any of this. Look how much was in that verse.
Yep. Yeah, there may be a lot more.
And now you can see where it's still hidden. It's the sealed book. And Mauricio says, and it is even in the book, it says it's still hidden. Everybody's just going to skip over that and say, oh, yeah, nothing new here. And he's just
that's what I did the first time. I'm thinking, that must be Moses. And I went right past it.
Yeah, you go right past it. Yeah, that's their quoting. That's Moses, and that's Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon. Yeah, old stuff. There's nothing new here. But when you ask, okay, now I think we beat that one to death. But
the next verse is powerful.
Okay, Jeannie's going to read the next verse.
In these days, there will be a transformation of the people among whom there will be a pure tongue, for each man and woman will invoke the name of the Lord in their hearts, so that the love is the feeling shared by both parties, whether it be between two persons or two groups or even between different cities. For whenever your people are gathered, there will be the same feeling among brothers. And the reason that caught my eye is several things, but one is on the website for Bob, he has discussed feelings and sensations, and he discusses feelings as being the emotion that's in our heart, and that it is the true love of God being manifested. So charity is the love that God is wanting us to possess. And it says, so that the love is the feeling shared by both parties. And then it goes on to say, it doesn't have to be two people. It can be groups or big groups.
I vote that we continue reading this chapter. I was going to focus on this chapter. Unless either of you have other things.
Oh, no.
I'd say let's just take turns reading verses here.
Yeah.
Steve, why don't
So okay. The other thing is the transformation. The way we are now, blind and dumb with our ears covered up, we're going to have to be transformed to come to this point. And that's what it says, that there will be, it will happen.
Right.
People will make this jump, this leap from the old ways to the new ways.
And in the new ways, right in the first of verse 5, it says, there will be a pure tongue.
Yeah.
For each man or woman will invoke the name of the Lord in their hearts. But the point is, anyway, there's a pure tongue and speaking in tongues, Adamic language, something going on here. So yeah. Nobody's going to have stammering lips.
Well, then we'll all, because the universal language will be love. It won't matter if you can say the words, but if you do the actions.
No, but there's a pure tongue too.
Okay.
When it says a pure tongue, that's language.
But now some of the information about a pure tongue that I've read is one that is speaking, or I've understood it to be not coming from the mind so much as from the heart. And I've always wondered what that would look like or sound like.
It's, some of the other witnesses, I think I've mentioned this before, but I forgot to whom, of the Plates of Mormon, none of them, they were all from Missouri, none of them spoke English. And I have talked to two of them personally, and they've got it on their public website, that most of the time they needed an interpreter.
Right.
Who was John, who speaks both languages, John V. But they said when they got to certain important parts, just for a paragraph or so, he said, I could understand Mauricio perfectly. And I answered in English and he understood me perfectly.
See that?
And so he wasn't speaking in pure tongue. They were speaking English and Portuguese. But he said he definitely had the gift of tongues for a while, but not
right
for everything. Okay, Steve, why don't you read verse 6?
Okay. This project coming from God requires first that the people possess the citizenship of Zion in their hearts. And this will be the means by which the people of God will show themselves apt and worthy to live in Zion, having a broken heart and a contrite spirit before the Lord.
Okay, and that's going to move right in. That's part of what verse 7 is going to continue that idea. But that's, of course, saying that the first step is to have this love in their heart for everybody and being humble and not treating anybody better than anybody else. Verse 7, yea, unless the people are united in your feelings to begin to build the principles governing Zion in your own hearts, they can never erect a physically constructed Zion on earth. That is a huge statement. There's
the only highlights. The highlights in this chat on this.
Yeah, and my highlight. Look, there's a few underlined. Of course, almost the whole page is underlined, is highlighted. But
these are the ones I've been studying on this list.
But that's huge. You can't just. I know a man who is building what he thinks is Zion up near the sacred Sharon, Vermont. It's near the sacred grove, I believe. And he's very wealthy, and I forget how many units he's building. He's trying to build a city of Zion-like people, but he's building it without the people. Anyway, it's not going to work. And he's putting his whole life into it. But anyway, he's hoping it'll all work.
Well, he needs this book. He can understand
how it really is. I gave him a copy of the book. I actually was doing a pitch to help see if he would pay for the next version, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's the one that told me about He doesn't print any things anymore. He just has the card with the
Q
code, the little Q code thing.
That's where...
He says he doesn't even have instructions for any of these.
Oh, really?
Everything is online now, so that didn't work. Also, he doesn't believe the book's true. But anyway, moving on. Verse 7. You have to design in your heart before you can construct on earth. This will be impossible unless engraved the laws governing this heavenly home in yourself, and after building yourself with the Spirit, that is, with the pure sentiments that rule Zion, then each of the men and women of God should extend this same principle into his own home, and so forth through the society of the church in general, until all the citizens of Zion are living harmoniously and according to the high standards of the kingdom of God on earth, just as it is in heaven, so that he may come. And now that is in the regular scriptures in the Doctrine and Covenants. It says that Zion, those in Zion have to live the celestial law, and it cannot be done by any other principle. And this is really emphasizing that, saying, yes, that's true. And the Savior can't even come until that's happening.
Well, we have a long way to go.
And he has the people ready that are living that way that he can come to. And that... and that we got to have it in our hearts first before we even think of building the city. So, yeah, there's some time. Jeannie's commenting that we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, no, no.
There's time involved here.
Well, one thing that is on the internet and on YouTube right now, even though they don't talk about this book or they talk about all these other things, there is an underlying message that says people have to turn to God for all the stuff that's going on.
Yes.
That even though it's political or government here or there, or people are angry and mob and riots, that this is the underlying message from all these preachers is that we had better be turning to God.
Right.
So even though it's not coming, and I don't remember where it says that there'll be only one church with the truth, that there'll be truth in
all the churches. There's prophets everywhere now.
Right, so that this message that people are hearing coming through the internet is getting people to think about God in one way or another. It is getting them to relearn who God is.
One of the huge results from the Twin Towers was that for about almost a whole year, a whole lot of people turned to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognized it as a sign of, really bad things.
Yeah.
And by the way, that I believe is also, I prophesied in Isaiah, he talks about the towers falling. I believe he saw that in vision because he saw the towers, the big towers falling.
Nostradamus did too. There were some other seers that saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Jeannie, maybe you're on verse 8.
As soon as this becomes a reality, which I think it means that people are living by the rule of Zion, as soon as this becomes a reality, then the spiritual temple, whose living stones carved and fitting by the words of this book, that's awesome, will be grouped and unified in only one purpose, and only this way will be possible, with unity among all, to build a physical temple in the land where the Lord will be among his people, as in the days of Enoch and as it came to pass between us, the Nephite people.
I've got a comment on that relative to Jeannie's comment where she said, this is going to take some time, to get everybody, to get an actual community together that really has love in their hearts, living the laws, and then only then can they build the temple. And it's going to talk in the next verses about, I think, the return of Enoch and things. But my comment is, Mauricio stated to me, or to us in the group I was in, that he has no plans to build a temple, because he said that will be done in the next generation.
Right, and that's what it says in here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just agreeing with Jeannie that, and now this is, I believe, talking about the temple in Missouri, the big, the main center place temple in the Zion in Missouri. There may be another temple before that here in the mountains. I'll just say that. Denver Snuffer sees his whole calling, David the servant, as building a temple up in the Rocky Mountains somewhere. The one we sing about, high on the mountaintop, a banner is unfurled. There's a different, let me comment on this. In the script, this is, I believe, a key. I have not been taught this anywhere but by the Spirit. In the scriptures, it talks about Mount Zion, and it talks about Zion. Zion itself, I believe, is in Missouri, and it's next generation. Mount Zion is a mountain. That's what, duh. And it's, I believe, there's evidence it's in the Rocky Mountains, and there's going to be a temple built high on a mountain top, and it's a preliminary temple, and Elijah's going to return there and help restore ordinances that we've lost, some of the real sealing ordinances, and that's all preparatory. And see, and then this, the big revelation last March stated that David the servant is going to be anointed by Mauricio and tutored by Mauricio. And so there's different people that have different jobs.
Right.
So I'm just pointing out a difference between Mount Zion.
And Zion. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Okay. Steve, you want to read 9?
I will. But these will not be the days when the city of Enoch will come adorned from heaven, like the heavenly Jerusalem promised to come down upon the earth, in which the Lord, after gathering his people in Zion and in his stakes in the last days, and having prepared the hearts of his people to be ready in all things, then after these things coexist in their elect, he shall come and dwell with his people for 1,000 years.
Now, I've read that 2 or 3 times, and I don't understand that one yet. When he says, this is not the days when Enoch will come. So is it, so it sounds like it's before the days. Is that, is your understanding this is before the days when Enoch will come? Like the heavenly Jerusalem, promised to come down, in which the Lord, after the gathering of his people in Zion. Okay, it said it, I dismissed it. It says it explicitly, that it's that's after the gathering of these people in Zion and his stakes. Okay, so the gathering of the people in Zion in Missouri and its stakes, this is a while.
Yes, yeah. Because you got to get all these people united in their hearts.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is a while down the road.
It kind of almost says we have to practice too. Because it says, then after these things coexist in their elect.
And then he shall come and dwell with his people for 1,000 years. Okay, so that coming is down the road. There's some coming that's coming up fairly soon in 19 years. And it's a coming to a few people. And it might just be the Brazil group, I don't know. There's a bunch of different comings, but it sounds like the big one is quite a bit later on. Okay, I will read 10. Before, however, In Portuguese, they leave out the subject a lot. It's understood because of how the verb tense is. No, but it doesn't need a, it does, nothing's left out. This is good. Before, however, obey these words and keep the commandments of Christ in your hearts and teach one another, esteeming each one his neighbor as a brother of blood. While all are under these commandments and subject to the authorities of men, for verily I say unto you that the Lord cometh to his temple, and he shall reveal unto you new commandments.
When the Lord cometh unto his temple, he will.
Okay, yeah. When the Lord cometh to his temple. And again, I'm going to suggest there's two different temples. There's one in the mountains, and there's the main big one in Missouri. From all I can see, everything in this book is about the Missouri Zion. Okay, let's go ahead.
All right. But as regards to this record, I guess meaning this book.
Yeah.
Whereby the people of the Lord will be ruled in the last days until he comes to his temple and find a clean people to reveal to them new and great truths. Behold, we, the three Nephites, we will leave written in this record a model so that the people of the covenant in the last days may have a basis of our society when among them this will be revealed. There's a model.
Right, right. He's showing us and they're describing how it's supposed to be, and he's been doing that this whole chapter.
Right.
When among them this will be revealed.
Yeah, and yeah. See, when among them this will be revealed. And see, it has said in here more than once that first we get what we're holding in our hands, the first half of the second part of the, you know, of what Mauricio is going to translate.
Oh, I see.
And then we're going to get, when we can obey this, Mauricio's already working on the translation of the second part, and we'll get a bigger book, and it's going to contain the revelation of John as given to the Nephites. It's going to contain, they tell us in here what it's going to contain. That's one of them. Anyway, it's going to contain more things.
But that won't come until Christ has come, right?
No, that's coming as, no, that's what I'm saying. Mauricio's doing that. And really? That, no, it says in here that that will come as soon as we are obeying this. And right. And that we're getting the United Order together. We're already obeying almost everything we know in here. We're working hard at the loving and doing. Right. I mean, I'm not sure I know anything in here. The one thing I found was the new converts that are really converts being baptized at the sacrament of the new moon. I found that, so I'm trying to do that. But he's working on that, and my understanding is that's going to come forth. I'm a witness. I'm one of the witnesses of it.
Right.
And it's going to come forth soon. I'm hoping that's what the printing office is for, that there'll be a new version with the whole thing in it. It'll be 400 pages instead of 200.
Ooh, that'd be sweet.
That's my hope. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
But what he says here is that's when we're going to be able to live the covenant even better and be doing things and have a basis of society. And then it says, this will be revealed. Anyway, when the Savior comes, he's going to reveal the really sealed part. It's bolted with bolts, Chuck. It's not bands. It's
about the faithfulness of Jared and brother Jared, and that part is sealed, right?
Right, that's sealed, and that's the part that Jesus will reveal.
Yes.
With new revelations and stuff. Well,
and it also says that which will be foreshadowed, or which will foreshadow the true citizenship. So we're going to practice this part here where we live in connection.
Steve, read that last verse 12. That's our last one.
Okay.
You haven't read it?
I've got that highlighted. In turn, this people must live in consecration, there being no poor among them, through the covenant of God that will be established among the people, when then these words will be revealed, for whose promise will never be allowed to be violated, being a people united in purpose and having a pure heart, which will foreshadow the true citizenship of Zion when Christ comes to his temple in the last days.
Wow.
Yeah.
For those yeah. that say they read this and there's nothing new.
Yeah.
Their hearts were closed.
Yeah, that is saying their hearts were closed. The book is still sealed to most people.
Yeah.
And we're having to really study.
That's because we want.
Yeah, we're seeking.
Yeah, and that's what it says. You must seek and work as a, have a desire in your heart to become this way.
Okay.
All right, what are we going to do next week?
Next chapter.
I don't know. I mean, look how inspired we were this time. We didn't say chapter 7, and yet we both focused on the same verse.
I guess we just keep doing what we're doing, right?
I think so. I think I'll keep going on. But be open to whatever the Spirit tells us. So we can bring up a question. Maybe we have about 5 minutes left before our closing prayer. But again, to be open, we're saying, you did, that's amazing. You had the question.
Yeah.
And I was kind of shown the answer.
You did a good job of that. Thank you.
Well, thank the Lord.
Already. The more confused I got, I couldn't.
Yeah, well, it was hard, and thank the Lord, because he's the one that showed me. I didn't understand it the first time either. Do we have any other? any other things? Maybe we can close now. Other closing thoughts? So we'll kind of plan on going on in 8.
Right.
But be open to anything that we feel others would be interested in,
okay,
or that we should bring up. And any questions on anything. I will just close one thought by saying that hit me so hard last night, that verse 4, when I realized that, oh no, I might be the spokesman. And then I thought, I haven't really been much of a spokesman, but in a way I have, because I've written several long articles about Mauricio and about the work, and we've started the thing. So in a way, I've done something.
Well, John, you've also been on the road, baptizing, doing Zoom meetings. You're doing a number of things.
Yeah. I'm doing a number of things, but I felt last night that I need to do a lot more, because I guess I believe I am the spokesman. I don't know. I mean, I don't know any other candidate that speaks English and Portuguese and is defending Mauricio and writing the book.
That's a lot of coincidences.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That may be a little too many coincidences.
So I guess I'm saying it looks like I am that person, and that really builds a fire under me to say, oh my goodness, I've been prophesied.
No, definitely.
It's to Joseph of Egypt.
Your line would be interesting to look up.
Oh, I will tell you. I'm going to do the disclaimer first. This is, and then we can end. It's 25 after. We have 5 more minutes. I'm going to give a disclaimer first.
Okay.
If you look on LDS on familysearch.org, you can trace your genealogy back a long way.
People fight on there. Anybody can change any line on any day and say, oh, no, no, he wasn't his son. He was this son. And it changes the whole line. Okay. There was a day when I was told, I felt inspired to try to follow my line back all the way to Mary Magdalene. On that day, I did. And this is, it's actually on my website. And she actually had two children. That's another story for another day. But basically, she has two children. One is biological daughter of Jesus Christ. And when he died without a male heir, she followed the law of Moses and married his brother, Joseph, called Joseph in the Bible, Greek, but it's Joseph. And she had a son by Joseph. The royal lines of Europe and England, a lot of them come through those two. Those are the lines that are kept. I have a line from both of them. I have a line from both Joseph and Sarah. And I believe it's a correct line because I was led to it. And that line has disappeared since. You know, it's, I mean, I'm telling you, it changes all the time. Okay, with that in mind, so anyway, I do go back. Yeah, I believe.
I've read about the bloodlines in two or three books, and Posey, Ben's wife, has really, really read a lot about that. And it's real interesting to see some of the stuff. If you get off into, you know, the apocryphal books and stuff, you can read some stories that I feel pretty inspired by about Mary leaving and going to the Isles.
There's a lot of information out there.
Right.
But, but most of English people are from Ephraim, from Joseph.
Right.
It'll say in here, Joseph's, the seer for Joseph is called to the children of Ephraim to, okay, I think let's have a closing prayer, and then I think it's going to stop.
Okay.
God, you mind?
Yeah, I'll give the Ed call on me. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the light and knowledge you are giving us. So grateful that Steve's worked a week on a question, and I was shown to talk about that today. We're grateful for being led. We're grateful for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We pray we cannot disappoint you, that we can fulfill each of us in this meeting has a calling and pre-call before this earth for which we're prepared. And we just pray that we can fulfill our callings, that we can feel this love for each other to build Zion. And we're just grateful we found each other, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You can turn off recording.
I want to turn off.
Yes, take care.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Bye. Ed, take care. John, be safe.
Okay.
Jeannie, thank you for organizing and getting this working so well. That's a big jump in technology from last week.
Okay. Sounds great.